we kind of go through them, the theme for the morning will become apparent. These are actually a series of Old Testament scriptures. And we're going to start here. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Psalm 25, 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Psalm 37, 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Psalm 149, 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. Isaiah 29, 19. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And then finally, Matthew 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, just a few verses up, I don't know if you're following along in your Bible, before he makes this declaration, he says something before this. And he says, Oh Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them unto babes. And that's what the Isaiah scripture said. Anoint me to preach the gospel to the meek. Jesus also said, too, before, you know, a person must first be converted and become as a little child before he can enter the kingdom of God. There is something about this thing called meekness that is full of the promises of God. And again, we see Jesus here himself in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am, think about that, the great I am. He said, remember in another place, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Here's another I am revelation about Jesus. For I am meek. And if that wasn't bad enough, he's lowly in heart too. Meek and lowly in heart. I'm being facetious there, of course, but one of the things that we got to realize is that meekness is not weakness. Here's just a little excerpt from the Jack Hayford Bible Handbook. Meekness, an attitude of humility toward God and gentleness toward people, springing from a recognition that God is a sovereign creator and in control. Although weakness and meekness may rhyme and look similar, they are not the same. Weakness is due to negative circumstances such as a lack of strength or lack of courage, but meekness is due to a person's conscious choice. It is strength and courage under control, coupled with kindness. So meekness. This morning we're going to talk about the awesome power of meekness. Okay? I want the concept, the scriptural basis for meekness to just be so real and alive in our hearts that we see the scriptural basis for meekness is the promises of meekness, but also the importance and the value and the power in our lives personally as we begin to learn and grow in meekness. You'll notice that Jesus, he said, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Meekness doesn't just happen. You learn meekness. You're going to learn meekness through life. Meekness, again, I like what Pastor Jack there said. He said, a person's conscious choice. Meekness is learned as you make conscious choices in the face of circumstances and develop meekness in your life. Okay? So this morning again, the awesome power of meekness. We're going to start, first of all, with it makes you a spiritual person. Meekness makes you a spiritual person. You know, And the Apostle Paul would write to people, and he'd have to correct some of the excesses in tongues and spiritual gifts, and people would have a zeal for spiritual things, and a lot of times there would have to be correction to try to get people back in the middle of the road and their exuberance and excitement over trying to be really spiritual, prove something to God or to people or whatever. Well, James had to kind of do this once. He put it this way, James 3:16. He said, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom acknowledges it as wisdom. It does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So he kind of starts off, you know, this passage of Scripture by saying, okay, who's really the wise one? Who's really the spiritual one among you? Who's the winner of the spirituality contest? I'm looking out, and I'm going to say, who's the true spiritual person here? And you might think, well, it's the person who's, you know, he's going to be the loudest. He's going to be the, you know, just really make the strongest case. And God is showing, James is showing, you know, you can really tell spirituality. You can really tell it by the way a person lives. And he says, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Then what he does is he goes on to define what the meekness of wisdom looks like, the wisdom that's from above. The meekness of wisdom is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Why is the meekness of wisdom that this way? Why is it this way? Because the wisdom of meekness, the meekness of wisdom, is a wisdom that is being taught and trained by the Word of God. In other words, there is no agenda other than, Lord, I want to say what you want me to say. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm teachable. I'm correctable. I will learn. I will be instructed. And so the wisdom that God gives us from above has these qualities, has these characteristics. You know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The voice of another, they won't follow. Remember, he said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me. When you're meek and lowly of heart, shepherd speaks to you. It sounds like this. Pure, peaceable, gentle. There's another person who has wisdom. It sounds different. Bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts. It says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, look at this admonition. Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. In other words, there's a temptation to think that as you're full of bitter envy and self-seeking, as your heart is full of rage, that you're getting a revelation from God. And he's saying, nope. That's not the case. That's not God's wisdom. He's not instructing you that way. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And we're talking about the awesome power of meekness. Meekness will make you a spiritual person because meekness will cause you, when you get a revelation and learn of meekness, it'll cause you to see past the false wisdom. It'll tune your ear into His wisdom. And you be listening. You're not listening even as much to the content of what is said as you're listening first to the voice and the tone behind what is being said. Remember, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The voice of another they won't follow. You know the voice of the Lord. You follow that voice. You get tuned in to the voice. A spiritual person will become sensitive to the voice. This is James 1:21. He's talking about... not only, you know, does meekness cause you to be sensitive to the voice of God in terms of hearing and judging things that you're getting in your own mind, but it also causes you allow the Word of God to come into you. James 1:21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. Amplified, so get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the Word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your souls. Praise God. In other words, meekness is that quality by which you are listening to the Word of God. receive with meekness the implanted word. You know, it's not, you know, you can listen to the Bible in volume, you know, volume is great. It's good to, you know, the Bible says, blessed is the man, you know, delights in the word day and night. And I'm all about that and believe in that. You know, that we need to be, have the word of God before our eyes, absolutely. But I'll tell you, it's the word that you receive with meekness that's going to save your soul. You can listen to the word with an attitude that, oh, good, I've listened to the word for 4 hours. But did you listen to it with meekness? Have your heart open. Say, Lord, I am correctable. I am teachable. Meekness causes you to be teachable. Meekness will allow that word to come into your heart and change the way you think. You may have thought of something, a certain line, for years and years, but meekness will say, whoa, I need to make an adjustment here. I need to make a correction here. Meekness will cause that word to get in you and change you and make a difference in your life. Galatians 5, 16 through 17. This kind of goes back to the spirituality thing again as it relates to being a spiritual person. Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. All right? He goes on to say later in that passage, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, there's two things that will happen here in verse 16 and 17. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, in between verse 17 and 22, it's kind of a bullet pointing of what the flesh looks like. Adultery, fornication, outbursts of wrath, drunkenness, revelries, all that kind of stuff. He kind of bullet points all that stuff, what the flesh looks like. And he says, basically, a person who's really walking in the Spirit, they're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's great. But a second thing happens to a person who's walking in the Spirit. They begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit. A person who's walking with God, and you're pursuing God, and you're allowing this word to correct you, and you're changing, and you're humbling yourself under His mighty hand, and you're thinking different, and you're treating people different, because you're walking in the Spirit, something just begins to bear in you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. A person who's really walking with God looks like that. Paul, in fact, was mistaken as being weak, because he, you know, the people would say, well, in bodily presence he's just such weak and kind of mild man, not weak, but he's so mild manner and soft and kind, and you know, and he had to rebuke a few people at times with his apostolic authority and say, hey, you know, I can be corrected. But this is when your person's really walking with God, the fruit of the Spirit's in you. You look like this. These are the kind of things that set you free. These are the kind of things that change you, that transform you. The fruit of the Spirit that's born in your life when you're walking in the Spirit. So what were we saying? The awesome power of meekness, number one, it makes you a spiritual person. It gets your focus on God. And it will change you, and it will cause the fruit of the Spirit to be born in your life. It's a powerful thing when you begin, as you've got to sort through the wisdom in your head, which one you're going to yield to and set your mind on. Is it going to be the wisdom that's full of bitterness and hatred and self-seeking? Or is it going to be the wisdom that is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy? It takes the Holy Ghost to have wisdom that's without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's not the way you make it look to men. We're talking about you and your own heart. If you're going to allow the wisdom that's without partiality, without hypocrisy, it takes the Spirit of God. And when you begin to choose this wisdom, it will change you. It'll cause you to be meek and temperate and gentleness and goodness to come into your life when you choose this kind of wisdom. It produces that same kind of quality on the inside of you. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace that make peace. I like to put it this way. Meekness will take the chip off your shoulder. You know, a person who has a chip on their shoulder, it's an insecurity. And they want you to be they want to be really mad and angry so that you can be afraid of them. And a person who's meek isn't afraid of anybody. Isn't afraid of anybody. They fear their God. And they take every word and they bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Regardless of how people would make him look or not look, they're walking with their God. And they have peace with their God. Their wisdom's from above. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. In other words, it doesn't do games with the Scriptures. No, it's pure. And a person who's meek becomes a spiritual person. a spiritual person, and again, a spiritual person, as defined by the Word of God, is somebody who is operating in a wisdom that's pure, peaceable, gentle. It's a person who allows the Word of God to come in and correct, save their souls. It's a person who has the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, operating in their lives. And let's see, finally, I think I got one more here. 1 Peter 3-4. Peter says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Which is in the sight of God of great price. A meek and quiet spirit makes you look good. It's an adorning. There is an adorning when you are walking in meekness and when you've learned meekness. Remember Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." The most beautiful garment of meekness that there is on our Lord Jesus Christ. Meek and lowly in heart. Boy, I could really take advantage of somebody like that. Not at all. No, it's power and courage under control. It's somebody who doesn't lose their temper, who doesn't lose their cool. You know, as long as the enemy can push your buttons and get you off, you're vulnerable. But a meek person, you can push all those things, and they're just solid, stable, listening on the inside. Praise God. Learn of me. I'm meek, lowly in heart. He said, let the adorning be that hidden man of the heart. It will make you a spiritual person. In other words, it's something you can tell. A spiritual person can perceive that ornament of that meek and gentle spirit. It has an adorning effect in your life. It's the kind of thing, too, that will make people want what you have. When they see that you are not fazed, but you have this peace, abundance of peace. I like some of those scriptures that we were reading before. Meekness does that. There is an awesome power of meekness. What does it cause you to do? It has to cause you to trust in God. Like I said, meekness will cause you to lose the chip on your shoulder and put your trust in God. It'll change you. It'll transform you. You won't look the same. Putting your trust in God won't be just a theological phrase. It'll be a reality in your life. Walking and living by faith. Looking to Him. Praise God. Sets you free. And when that happens, you have eyes to see, you have ears to hear. The wisdom that is from above. See, the problem with the strife and bitter envy, God, when this stuff is going on, the bitter envy, self-seeking, God can be pouring down His wisdom from above all day long. You never see it. You just won't even see it because this clouds your view. But when you say, "No, I don't want that, Lord. If it's going to instruct me, it's going to have to be the pure, it's going to have to be the right thing." The next thing about the awesome power of meekness is it makes you not only a spiritual person, but it makes you a loving person. You think, "Oh, that's the same thing." No, well, they are related for sure. They're akin to each other, but I'm talking about something more specific here. 1 Corinthians 4:20-21. "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye, that I shall come to you with a rod or in love, in the spirit of meekness?" Okay, this is the Apostle Paul talking, and he's saying, look, am I going to come to you corrective, or do you want me to come in meekness and love so that that word can go into you? Ephesians 4:1-3. "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." I love that. "With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Meekness is going to make you a loving person. Meekness is somebody you're going to be looking at. There's another scripture in Romans I didn't put in here, but he said, "As much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men." There is something in the heart of God, and you see that connection again with peace. You know, the fruit of righteousness, that wisdom that's from above, is sown in peace of them that make peace, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Meekness is very much a peacemaker. Meekness is something that isn't looking at every little nuance to fight it and do that. You know, and sometimes we kind of think, well, that's strength. Aren't you glad that your good shepherd doesn't do that to you when he bids you to come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden? Take my, and learn me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You know, Jesus could be really tough and point out every reason why your burden is so heavy. I'm glad he isn't that way. We're to learn of him, right? That's the example he's setting for us. So that when people come unto us, we're a safe place too. He set that example so that we in turn for our brothers and sisters in Christ can be that kind of an example to them, to love them. You don't say everything you know when you're talking to people. You listen on the inside and you say what God gives you peace about saying. It's not a chance to show off your knowledge of the Bible or Scripture. It's a chance to minister life to people. Jesus at some point said to his own disciples, he said, man, there's many things I want to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will show you things to come. When we're dealing with each other, meekness will make you a loving person. It won't say, you know, you listen to the question of their heart, you listen to the expression of their heart, then you're listening on the inside. Okay, Lord, how can I minister life and peace? Speak the truth in love in this situation. Meekness does that. It causes you, I like to put it this way, it causes you, you know, to just represent the love of God. And then, of course, Colossians 3, 12 through 14, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, you're going to know something about meekness. Again, it is something you have to put on. Right? As the elect of God, put on meekness. It's not just automatically on. You got to put it on. Now, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. But these qualities are learned qualities. I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me. You learn of him as you put on that meekness in the context of different situations in life. You may be good at putting on meekness, you know, have learned to put on meekness well in talking with maybe your kids or other certain relationships or your boss or somebody like that, but there's going to be all kind of relationships where God is going to be telling you, put on meekness. Learn the way of meekness. When you learn the way of meekness, you're going to begin to get wisdom, that divine meekness of wisdom in those situations and in those relationships. But there's a putting on of meekness. Also, I just love the exhortation from Timothy, talking to exhortation of by Paul to Timothy. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, here we're going to find out who the spiritual people are again. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You'll notice that, you know, meekness is not only something you put on. Meekness is something that you have to follow after. You have to go after meekness. It is something that you're going to begin to establish in your life. And again, what are we talking about? We're talking about that power. We're talking about that courage under control. It means that I am not going to have the strife. I'm going to allow the Holy Ghost to lead and to guide me. I'm going to have that kind and compassion toward people, a tenderness toward God in each situation. I'm going to develop that meekness in my life. It's something I put on, and it's something I follow after. Okay? You know, I remember, and if you want to go back to your... Well, in the olden days when I watched cartoons, they were Saturday morning. It was a Saturday morning thing, okay? And I remember, you know, my brother and I would ask my mom each Saturday morning if we could, and you know, I was always thrilled when we could watch the cartoons. And there was a particular cartoon that always kind of struck me. It seems so funny and such a funny idea. I look forward to when it would come on, and you know the. Kind of the old Roadrunner stuff where you got the Roadrunner and the coyote can never catch the Roadrunner. This was kind of a different take on that a little bit because it was the coyote and a sheepdog, all right? And it was the sheepdog's job to watch the sheep. And it was the coyote's job to try to eat the sheep. And the funny thing about it was, is that the show approached it like a job. And so you'd have the sheepdog and you'd have the coyote just kind of walking side by side with their lunch pails. Hey, Harry. Hi, Frank. They'd clock in, you know, do that. And then as soon as they clocked in, man, it was game on. And that sheepdog was there watching the sheep, and the coyote would be there trying to kill the sheep, and the sheepdog is saving the sheep left and right. And, you know, you'd get to the end of the segment. Every time at the end of the cartoon, it was some form or another this would happen. The coyote would have all this dynamite and explosives pointed at the sheepdog, just ready to destroy the sheepdog. And just as he was about to blow up all the dynamite, the work whistle would blow. He'd kind of look at his clock and look at their clock and go. They'd just kind of walk together, slough off together, and just check out. All right, yeah. See you tomorrow, Harry. See you tomorrow. We've got to be careful that we don't have what I would just call sheepdog devotion times, okay? When it comes to developing things. Because you can have, okay, you got your prayer time. Maybe it's from 7 to 8 in the morning. And I'll tell you what, you're praying, you're worshiping, you get a negative thought, you cast that down. No way, devil, in Jesus' name, power of God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. This is my devotion time. And then, devotion whistle goes off, you're done with that, you're in your car driving, and all of a sudden you've got a thought, oh, I wonder if, did they really mean that? Or could that really happen? Oh, no. And I'm worried and fear, but not in my devotion time. You can't get me there. Okay? We got to be vigilant in these things. You can't just have your devotion time where you're casting down imaginations. The enemy doesn't work like that, does he? You're not clocking in, clocking out. He will attack you outside of your work frame time or your devotion time, we'll say. And when it comes to things like meekness and godliness, it's one thing to be in the presence of God worshiping the Lord and just feeling the love of the brotherhood. It's another thing to be in your prayer closet and you're worshiping and forgiving people and getting your heart right and different things like that. But long after when your devotion whistle blows, you are going to have to still put on that meekness. You're going to have to follow after that love walk outside the devotion time. And that's when change is really going to begin to happen in your life. You'll find that devotion time expanding to your whole day. Where you're just like, okay, nope. Yes, even here, even now, I love. Even here, even now, I forgive. But what in the context of this deal, or this relationship, or this show, or this whatever, do you still love? Do you still follow after? Yeah, I do. I do, Lord. I take every thought into captivity, not just from 7 to 8, but I take every thought into captivity and bring it to the obedience of Christ. I keep my mind accountable. I'm going to stay meek. I'm going to keep a right spirit before God. I'm not going to allow anything to get, and that's where you begin again. That's where you learn meekness. You learn it. Like a pilot overcoming vertigo. You know, they're flying and they've got to believe those instruments, and if it feels like they're going down, but they're going straight, they got to stay that position. Or if it feels like they're fine, but they're really going down, they got to change that and make those positions and adjustments. You got to go against what you feel, and that this is your instrument panel right here, the Word of God, and saying, okay, Lord, I'm learning meekness. I'm growing in this area of meekness. I'm not going to just burn up my vapor down here with this chip on my shoulder. I'm going to get free, and I'm going to trust you in every area of my life. I'm not going to be that tough anymore. I'm going to be strong in you and in the power of your might. It'll change you. It'll change your personality. It'll cause you to trust in him. Abundance of peace and abundance of joy will be in your life like never before. There's a lot of pride in that stuff. And meekness will take it off. You'll learn that meekness. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. What an example. It makes you, though, a loving person. And also, finally, it makes you a minister of God. I love this. You know, it's kind of like, it makes you a spiritual person, it makes you a loving person, and when you got A plus B going, God's going to get ready to use you. When you allow meekness to so focus you that nobody through natural rationale or reasoning can get you off your game spiritually in the Word, and your mind is set on things above, and you've developed that loving, caring, sweet spirit toward people all at the same time, something is going to happen. This is a little excerpt from Sproul, a book called Before the Face of God. What is this meekness that is so powerful? One alternate translation for meekness is gentleness. Gentleness requires strength, the opposite of abrasiveness. This inner mildness flows from a confident strength that is the antithesis of arrogance. As this happens, our lives become beautiful in the sense that goodness is beautiful. And we become more faithful and trustworthy. And trustworthy people are acquiring the meekness and temperance that indicates stability in Christ and fitness for leadership. When God sees stability in his people, he graciously gives them responsibility. When you allow these two works of meekness to work in your heart, where you are focused spiritually and your heart is to love and just to feed the flock, you know, tell people what they can bear and hear, and you love, you have that heart, man, you're setting yourself up. Not to be a pastor or a preacher, just to be used. This isn't talking about for the ministry. This is just talking about you're available. God can speak through you. You can see through the smoke screens of strife. And you've got an ear turned for his wisdom. And you got a love and a compassion for people where you're putting it on in the face of whatever. Ouch, that's hurt. I didn't hear, you know, that's kind of a new way of getting hurt. But I'm going to put on love and kind. And it's okay, Lord, in this context too. I'm going to learn meekness and do that. And you got a person who's like that, that's a person God can use. That's a person God can use. I mean, these are paths of righteousness he'll lead you in for his name's sake. You can have all kinds of visions of grandeur of being used of God. But if you won't develop meekness, that spiritual mindedness and that love for people, it's very difficult for God to be able to use you. 2 Corinthians 10:1. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He's just saying, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence," and we were alluding to this before, "am base among you." In other words, they're like, when this Paul guy comes, he just seems like this nice, sweet, mild-mannered guy. You know, that's not weakness. That's a person whose life and character has been molded and shaped by the power of meekness. That's what a spiritual person looks like. But look, consider this. When you begin to develop meekness in your life, what it qualifies you to be able to do. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual," praise God, that was point one, "restore such a one." There's qualifications, isn't there? "You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Amplified, "Brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit," that's a learned behavior, "should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority, and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also." How do you get that kind of sweet spirit about you? Because with meekness, you've allowed the Word of God to correct you. And you've changed the way you think about things. And there's a humility that comes from allowing this Word to change you and to change the way you live and to change the way you think and to change the way... There's a correct... When that Word corrects you and you, with meekness, allow yourself to be corrected, there is an empathy and an understanding that develops in you. It's part of walking in the Spirit, and it's part of bearing the fruit of the Spirit of meekness. That'll just come. Not a 7-point lesson, it just bears in you. And there's a quality that'll just happen. And that quality, what's so awesome about it, is then it's a quality that makes you available to be able to bring correction to other people's lives. It's not like you're just trying to not act a certain way. You just aren't. You're not trying to, you know, be anointed. You just are anointed. Because you're walking in the meekness of God, and it's sincere and it's true. It's not a show, it's not a put on. A spiritual person is somebody who's really spiritual, not looking spiritual, trying to make you think they're spiritual, but they are spiritual. But because that's where their mind and their heart is. It's just that way. And so a person who's that way, God can use that person to minister correction, to people. So what are you doing? You're representing the love of God to people. You know, I love that. It was in 13:2, I don't have it up here. It says, you know, I could have the gift of prophecy, I could understand all mysteries, I could have all knowledge, I could have faith to move mountains, but without love, it profits me nothing. But when you've got spiritual mindedness, you've got revelation, you've got the gift of prophecy and understanding, and you have love, it profits greatly. Because it puts you in a place to where you can speak the truth in love and help people. It's an interesting paradox. If you keep the chip on your shoulder and you refuse the meekness of wisdom, God can't use it. Because you're so right and everybody's so wrong, and you want to change everything and everybody, and God can't use it to change anything. But when you humble yourself under his mighty hand, listen to his words and his meekness and his kindness, lo and behold, you are now in a position for God to use you to bring correction to people. His ways and our ways. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll say things and it'll just be anointed. It'll be the right thing at the right time. Think, man, why did I didn't even think that up? Just praise God came out. Well, you're in a position. You're a spiritual person and you love people. And God can use you to correct situations. He can use you to correct different things and situations. This is an admonition the Apostle Paul gives Timothy. Very strong admonition here. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, able to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I mean, again, in situations you can absolutely see what's right and wrong. And that's important. That's the knowledge. That's the understanding. But then you're listening to what God wants you to say about what you know is right and wrong. That's the meekness quality. That wisdom that's from above, it's pure and peaceable and gentle. It's willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit. So it's not just, you know, the truth, the letter of the truth. It's the truth in love. And that meekness is what gives it those qualities. But here you see Timothy saying, Pastor Timothy, strife and shouting and anger is not what's going to make you a preacher that it's going to be effective. It's in meekness instructing. You're going to be gentle to everybody and in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Here it is. It's meekness. And meekness, when that meekness is working in your life, God can use you again to bring correction. God can use you to change things and situations and circumstances. But first things first, God wants to develop meekness in your life. And this can be a blessing to all your relationships. But it starts first at the feet of Jesus, learning his meekness. He loves you, he cares for you, and allowing this word to begin to minister life and health and strength to you. So what I like to put it this way, that meekness accurately, it represents the love of God to people. A person who's in meekness can represent the love of God here. A person who has a meek heart represents the love of God correctly. Here, there, everywhere. Yeah, I can't tell you, I've met people, multiple people, all right? That I know of personally who believe that God does not love them anymore, that God doesn't care about them anymore, because in their heart and their mind, they've made their own little deal with the devil. They've negotiated. You know, if I could just have this, if I could have this fame, this money, this wisdom, you know, oh, that's all I want, that's all I care. And they've known that they've loved God, and they're playing games with their walk with God. And there's a lot of people that are literally in insane, you know, the, you know, mental health places because in their mind they're tormented. They think they've committed the unpardonable sin. They really believe that, you know. And you know, when you look at, I think right away the story of the prodigal son. He's kind of the guy who kind of did something like that too, doesn't it? Didn't he? He said, "Okay, Father, give me all your stuff, all your money, all your resources. I'm going to go out and party." He did it. Strikes the deal with his dad, goes out and does his deal, and then comes to the end where he's got no, you know, he's got no finances left. He's got his friends have left him because his money's gone, and he realizes, oh, if I could just get back to my father's house, at least the servants there are fed well. And so, as he begins to go back, and he begins to go back to the father's house, something very amazing happens that we know, but I kind of want to focus a little bit on the story after that. Remember the story of the older brother out in the field? And that older brother out in the field, he was mad because his younger brother comes home and dad throws a party for him. Why are you doing this, Dad? I mean, I've faithfully served you all these years. This younger son of yours comes home blowing all your money. This doesn't make sense to me. He's mad, isn't he? The father just has to correct him. Hey, your son was, My son was dead. He's alive. Your brother was lost. He's found. You know? But I've always wondered too, you know, what if that prodigal son had run into the older brother before he had seen the father? What would that older brother have told his younger brother? His younger brother's coming back. Do you think dad'll take me back? Do you think that, oh, you kidding? Dad is so ashamed of you, the family name, you've done all this. He doesn't want anything to do with you. Get out of here. I mean, think about that. I mean, you could just see that attitude and that spirit in that older brother. Well, I mean, if the older brother, whom the father loved as much as the prodigal, was not able to really accurately represent his love for his son, how much less is the father of lies able to accurately represent the father's love to you? There is, in a lot of people's mind, a sense that God just doesn't quite love me the way it's not the way it used to be. It'll never quite be that way. That's a lie. God loves you. And when you get a power of meekness, one of the most powerful things that you're going to do, not just correcting people in different things, you're going to represent the love of God to people. You're going to represent his unconditional care and compassion. You're going to be looking into their eyes and say, I've got a word for you. God loves you. You've been lied to. He's there for you. He hasn't changed. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. God's going to use you as a minister to represent his love. And it says you're at the feet of the Lord Jesus, partaking of his grace and mercy in your life, that you're going to turn around and say, man, he loves you, cares for you. Yeah, you got stuff you're working through. I do too. But God loves you. We're growing. You know, don't give up. Come back to Father's house. There's a message that God will put into your heart, and it's the love of God. And then finally, that is a minister of God, meekness. Not only it causes you to represent the love of God to people, brothers and sisters who maybe have gotten off, but it also causes you to represent the love of God to this world. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, 1 Peter 3:15-17. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. All right, I so love that. Again, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. All right? I mean, this is a powerful thing. Meekness, when it's worked in you, will give you a boldness to share your faith. There is. There is a transparency that you have when you develop meekness in your life. When the chips are off your shoulder and the agendas are gone, you're just looking, you can just talk very sweet about the love of God, and it's from your heart, and it's right, and it's true. And he goes on to say, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, when those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. All right? Yeah, you're going to catch flack. You're going to catch flack for your faith. But when you begin to present your faith in meekness, you begin to present your faith with that wisdom that's from above, that's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. When you're presenting your faith, there's a power in that. Because that meekness is a huge evidence of the fact of your salvation. When people see that peace of spirit and that joy in your heart and that love that you have for them and for your Savior, it's part of what makes them want what you got. And it does something. It's powerful. I remember just doing some street witnessing in Minnesota with a guy. And, you know, we'd have some people who would pray with us, and we'd have people who'd just get in our face and just tell us off. You know, I was just kind of following after him. He was kind of the lead. And he'd just say, it's all right, sir. Bless you. Just have a great day. Just want to show you. Just very sweet and meek and mild. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. Because I remember the first time that happened to me, I was like hurt and offended, and I wanted to, you know, there's something that kind of wants to fight back. You don't understand, you know, just there's a natural tendency. But he had developed meekness in his witnessing that he just went on. And I remember it was in Hopkins, Minnesota, where we had, there was a guy that just said, you just get out of my face, and, you know, just, you know, say, hey, just thank you for your time, sir. Appreciate it. Go on. Went right on down the road. And I'm, you know, he's just kind of going around. My mind is kind of still over there. He goes across the street and wins three brothers to the Lord at a bus stop. But he wasn't distracted. There's a meekness That's just like the enemy's just trying to get you to play his game and then going around and hurt my feelings and all that. Say, okay, go on to the next person. Paul preached, had people come out to the house. Acts 28, the Bible says some believed, some didn't believe. You know, you can't control who's going to believe and who's not going to believe. All you can do is preach the gospel, get the message out there. But when you've got that quality of meekness, it allows you to represent the love of God, whether it's to a lost or to a brother or sister who's hurting, or represent the love of God to the world. And just where you can say, okay, well, Lord, here we go. Take my, you know, give me that opportunity to be able to speak. And no matter what it is, that meekness, that sweet spirit is just going to go on to the next person. So there's a quality there, isn't there? It takes away the fear. It gives you courage, gives you confidence to praise God. Just go on. The awesome power of meekness. It makes you a spiritual person. It causes you to stop and think about what you're thinking about and choose the kind of thoughts that you're going to allow to stay in your mind. Are you getting eat up on the inside? Are you just like beside yourself with insane, you know, anxiety? That's not the wisdom that's from above. We're not talking about content now. We're talking about the voice. The voice is going to be pure. You know, God could say this. You know, Satan and God could say the same thing. But God says it in a way that brings peace, and Satan says it in a way that stirs you to bitterness and hatred and anger. The quality. You're listening to the voice behind what's being said. You're judging the content, but you're listening to that voice behind it as well, too. And you're saying, you know what? I'm going to be a peaceful person. I know one thing. If I keep my mind stayed on him, I'll have perfect peace. I'm not going to be left and right. I'm not going to be controlled. I'm going to be a spiritual person where my mind is open, my ears are open to what he's saying. It's going to make me a loving person. What does that mean? It means that I'm going to be putting on meekness. I'm going to be following after meekness. Again, not kind of a sheepdog devotional meekness, you know, from whatever to whatever. But I am going to grow and develop and establish this meekness. Because I know there's stuff at work. As I'm choosing the wisdom that's from above over the demonic wisdom, and as I'm choosing to walk in love and put on that sweet kindness and forgiveness to our people, something's happening. I'm getting prepared to be a minister of God because I'm a person who's spiritual and loves people, and I'm a vessel now through which God can flow his words. And whether people make fun of me or whatever, I'm just on to the next person. Praise God. You don't take yourself so seriously. Praise God. Because you know that wisdom that's not from above. You don't find it because you know the voice of it. You know behind it, there's a maturing that takes place on the inside. You begin to go places. You begin to get traction with God. And not only do you not get not affected by people's persecutions and criticism, but that intimacy with God just continues to grow because you're truly drawing your strength from him, his companionship, the fellowship of his spirit, not just words, but a living, spiritual, tangible reality incrementally day by day as I'm following after, as I'm putting it on. There is an awesome power of meekness that makes you extremely usable and makes you a vessel for the Master's use. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are meek and lowly in heart. You are all-powerful, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, the bright and morning star, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and you're meek and lowly in heart. Wow. Here we are. New creations in Christ Jesus with the greater one living on the inside of us with all the promises that pertain to life and godliness and meek and lowly in heart. Wow. To follow your example, Lord, to develop in your word, to develop in the spirit, but to do it with the spirit of meekness. That's our heart this morning, Father. We want to be like Jesus, meek, gentle. Go ahead and make this your declaration. If your heart can agree with this confession of faith, say, Heavenly Father, I thank you. My Jesus is meek and lowly in heart. When I come unto him, I know he's meek. I know he's tender toward me. Help me, Lord, to discern that wisdom. To not believe that you are making me angry beside myself, but you are giving me a wisdom that's pure and peaceable, full of love and good mercy, full of love and mercy. A wisdom that is sown in peace of them that make peace. Heavenly Father, I want to be that loving person that puts on meekness, that follows after meekness. I want to be changed more and more. I want to be the safe place that people come unto to find grace and life and encouragement. Heavenly Father, I want to be the one that can bring correction and change in a spirit of meekness and love. I want to be the one that can make a difference and see people get free from the snare of the devil and get their eyes on you. I commit this morning to develop meekness in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.